The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome back to another episode of the 750, presented to you by bloggingtheboys.com in partnership with SB Nation and Vox Media. You are listening on the Blog and the Boys Podcast Network. I am the O. I'm RJ Ochoa. He is the 7-5 two-time Super Bowl champion, Tony Casillas. Tony, good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, RJ. It's a tremendous week. As you know, I mean, off the top of the show, I got to say something about the game in Dallas, OU, Texas, or Texas, Oklahoma. I got to watch how I put that because all my Oklahoma guys will get on me. Says it's always OU before Texas. But anyway, it's a great week. It's Thursday, and the bannering is ramping up, and I'm excited about it. I'm also excited about, I guess, the Lone Star Shootout. Are we going to get excited about that? Is it labeled that way? It doesn't sound like it, but nevertheless, hopefully it will be a shootout.
I don't think you can. It's too late. You can't throw a name on the Cowboys-Texans rivalry. You know what I mean? It's too late in the process. It's weird. Like, I actually don't think anything can develop a name anymore. You know, I know you go to a lot of these, but you know how they have like the Advocare Classic and like those
title sponsors.
Yeah, you just can't do it. You know, it's some things like the Red River Shootout. You know, that's got its thing. That's got its place in history. But you can't add any more. You know, I was thinking the other day, like, I feel like movies aren't as good as they were, you know, like 20 years ago. You know what I mean? It just, things aren't as good in some ways like that.
Netflix. I'm a Netflix guy. Yeah. They have the greatest programming. I was going to ask you that. Movies or Netflix, RJ?
Well, it's funny you bring that up. So I have a rare weekend. I don't want to say off, but I normally do the high school games for ESPN San Antonio. So we don't have a game this week. And I have my Saturday morning show on ESPN San Antonio. So I'll do that. But you know, the better half and I, this Saturday, it came down to either going to the theater here in San Antonio to watch Wicked, which we've both seen. And I'm a big fan. I'm a big Broadway guy, Tony. Or staying at home and watching a movie. And we were sitting on the couch last night. We said, what do we want to do? And we said, let's stay home and watch a movie. Let's make some popcorn. Let's do it. I am a Netflix guy all the way.
Yeah, there's so much. There's so many great shows on that on Netflix now that you can just go on one of those binges. You can, like you said, you can hang out with your spouse, your girlfriend, fiance, and just cuddle up and just let's get it on because there's a lot of great programming you can binge with.
What before we get in, because I think this is interesting. What are your go to shows? Some of your Netflix staples. I'm in the middle
right now. Ozark,
dude. I'm in the middle of Ozark too.
I've seen both series and both seasons, and I don't want to be the spoiler maker, but that show right there is brilliant. Narcos. I like the cartel ones.
Yeah, yeah. It's like there's Breaking so much, Bad.
Yes, I mean, there's so many great, it's amazing, and, you know, now they're going to interject another $6 billion into the programming, but I mean, you cannot go wrong. I mean, I think there's something for everyone. The Evil Genius is great.
Oh, for sure.
The Sinners with Jessica Biel. Does it sound like I watch a little Netflix?
A little bit. I mean, just
but I like the thing that's great about Netflix is that you just once you if you have time, like maybe this weekend you'll have time, you just can't stop. You just keep going and raffle throwing up. But it's the brilliance of Netflix.
I agree totally. I'm still early in Ozark, so you know, we'll keep the spoilers to a minimum. I'll say this as a Netflix strategy. A guy I know, he just got into Netflix. I know that sounds ridiculous, but he just now is like, oh, dude, this is so cool. And I'm like, yeah, I know. It's welcome to 2018. And he said that he and his wife started a few shows, like Ozark among them. And he said he was homesick one day from work, and he missed work. And he texted me. He said, dude, this is terrible because I can't watch the shows because my wife will kill me. Because, you know, I'll just binge through them all. So I said, dude, you got to find some for yourself. Like, just find some shows that are just you, bro. And those can be yours, and you can watch those.
But one thing about, you know, Netflix is that the shows – once you start watching, and then your girlfriend or your spouse, and she starts watching, she's like, oh my God, it's addicting.
Yeah.
And then you don't want to wait because you want to do the final, all the episodes. And then she's, you know, you got to be on the right schedule because it's kind of hard. I mean, some of them I can repeat watch, but, it's just one of those bins where you just love sit there and just enjoy just laying around the couch and just doing Netflix watching.
Dude, you and me both. I'll be doing that this weekend on Saturday night in preparation. See, I'm really pumped because I love away games because I get to stay home. And I love night games because I get to watch the Red Zone channel all day. And then, you know, once it comes to Sunday Night Football, okay, focus. Time to focus. Time to, you know, lock in, whatever. And that's what we got this week. Cowboys, Texans, Sunday Night Football, as you mentioned. I don't know what it's called, the Lone Star, whatever. I mean, who cares what it's called? I heard your former teammate Michael Irvin this week referred to the Houston Texans as the little sister of the Dallas Cowboys. Not the little brother. He called them the little sister. Would you say that's accurate?
I would say the bridesmaid. First of all, no disrespect for the Houston Texans. And I know it was inaugural season in 2002. They beat the Cowboys and – as you just mentioned earlier, that's probably one of the only times, the second time that Jerry Jones cried. And David Carr was a quarterback. And, here we go with this new franchise, or not new franchise after the Oilers left, but inaugural season for them. It's hard to really label it as this rivalry because, again, no disrespect for the Houston Texans, but I think a lot of people, like myself, always refer to them as the Oilers. Now, we've gotten to the Texans now, but there's not really this history that they've created for themselves, like the Cowboys and, you know, America's team. It is what it is. I mean, it is, you know, the Cowboys have won 5 rings. The Texans have never really knocked at the door.
They've never been so to it's an AFC hard, title game.
Right. So it's kind of hard to really, you know, kind of bridge this rivalry between these two teams. I think it's bragging rights because I have noticed this. There is a lot more Houston Texan fan base. And I believe it was in 2014, whenever that was an unbelievable game by Tony Romo, which they won in overtime. I noticed that there was a lot of Texan fans.
Right.
Maybe that's because of, you know, the Cowboys, you know, the state of the wherever they were at that particular time. But I noticed the fan base is there. But collectively, outside of Houston, I think the Cowboys still dominate Texas. So it's really hard to them, you know, having this heated rivalry between one another.
Definitely. It's that game, as you mentioned, was incredible in 2014. The last time these two teams met, Tony hit the spin move on J.J. Watt, found Terrence Williams for the touchdown, went to overtime, as you said. Dez Bryant had the big catch to put the Cowboys.
It was remarkable in that game.
Man, it was you think about it.
People really miss Dez Bryant. Don't watch that 2014 because then you will be like, God, I wish he was still here.
Well, you know what? Let's pivot for a second. You know, Friends is on Netflix, and Ross says pivot in that show. It's a big moment. So people have said, I don't know if you ever thought about this. People have told me my whole life that I look like Ross. I've gotten that my whole life.
There's a resemblance there.
The analogy works. Let's pivot, and before we get into Houston, let's talk Dez because we haven't 7-5-0'd it up since Dez's tweet this week. Somebody tweeted at Dez because he was working out, and like he has for however long he has, he's been posting those videos on social media. Somebody says, yo, dude, what team are you going to sign with the eyes emoji? You know, that always catches people. You put the eyes emoji. And Dez said, I prefer the Dallas Cowboys, but I'm open to anybody else after that. And I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of ways to feel about this. I'll start and say that it's fun and it's exciting and it's a cute idea to talk about and to kind of, you know, sit at the bar and have one with your friend over. But I don't think it's real. I mean, what has changed? I mean, they cut him and then he scorched the entire franchise publicly, called Sean Lee a snake and called out Travis Frederick and the Garrett guys and Scott Linehan. I mean, what has changed other than the fact that Dez tweeted that he wants to be back?
I don't think anything has changed for one reason. I think it would be really hard for Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones to bring him back, and that would basically be an admission that they made a mistake by not bringing him back at a bargain discount. They didn't even make him that offer, RJ. And some of the things, you know, the drama, saying things about players, you know, that's fine. I think we all get emotional about the game, and I think you know, Dez is that type of guy. I mean, maybe he just the maturity, he didn't handle it correctly, but I think he said it out of emotion. Whether the reality of it is, I think everyone looks every time, because let's face it, you know, this offense, you know, they are missing playmakers. They have two playmakers, one really right now, and that's number 21. Mm-hmm. Dak, you know, he's got to be a playmaker. Besides that, there's no one else on this team that's a playmaker. And that's the bottom line. So I think, you know, with Dez, I think he sees that. He knows that, you know what, I could be an impact on this team. Yes, I think the dynamic and the reputation that he would bring would probably add something to this offense. But I think the Cowboys have already moved on. And for him, I understand. I think it probably hurts him more than anything, because I don't know what his parameters are. I don't know what he wants. You know, they talked about Cleveland. That could have been a deal that could have been done. But maybe, you know, Dez didn't like what they were talking about, or they, you know, talk about Baltimore in the offseason. But I think the reality of it is that Dez is tired of not having a job.
Yeah.
And all these tweets and everything, sending things out there, I think it creates, you know, talk between you and I and other media and on social media, because he is talking. And I'm like you. I saw the TMZ video. And the dude looks like he is in bad – he is in great shape. I mean, the guy looks awesome. Now, we understand, you know, that's not football shape.
Right.
But at least he's like sending it out and like, hey, I'm prepared, because I really, the longer he stays out, I think the longer that he goes without ever playing again. And I think for Dez, that's pretty surreal. Yeah. I mean, oh, it's surreal when you have to leave the game, but for no one out there that doesn't want you as an athlete, that's really hard to take.
Yeah. I think everyone can understand that. I also believe Dez is really smart, and Dez understands what he's doing. You know, this is he knows the you know, it's like when somebody comes to you and says, "Dude, is she flirting with me? You know, look at what she said."
Yeah, but you know, RG, I gotta disagree with you. I don't think Dez is that smart, because, you know, is he calculated? Is this a way to calculate everything? And I respect what you know, your observation. Mm-hmm. But I think that's a reason why Dez is in the situation he is now, because right. He wasn't very smart.
No, and I agree.
I think he was more selfish and
no, I was going to say my point.
I think he was a little bit more selfish and I think he didn't think about it thoroughly.
I totally agree. The only thing I was going to say he was smart from was like a business perspective, because I think Dez knows that all the fans are seeing no receivers really perform. And so if Dez throws this out into the universe, then all the Cowboys fans, I mean, you look on Twitter.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. He's getting a lot of people to support why they should bring him back.
Yeah, he's just lining up an army. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
I'm sorry, I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, I think Dez, maybe he's a little desperate. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to, you know, assume anything about him, but I think that he's at a point where he's saying, okay, if the objective is to get back on the Cowboys, let me create some public pressure, you know, and let me throw out that I want to play. And then it becomes, oh, Cowboys, go sign him. You know, Jason Garrett gets asked about it. Dez said he wants to come back. What do you think? I mean, Jason Garrett got asked about this by the Houston media this week. And, you know, he has to say, oh, you know, we value Dez. You know, we love him. But, you know, we're here to talk about our players, et cetera. And ultimately, I agree. I mean, I think it makes the situation more awkward and more dysfunctional and more difficult to pull off. It's just a Hail Mary attempt at this point.
Let me ask you this. You know, Jason Garrett, everything that Dez has said about Jason Garrett, the Red Jesus, whether it's to the media or on social media, why would you want to bring Dez back?
I can't come up
with
a reason.
I don't think those two, they could coexist.
I don't think, you know, people love to say, oh, they need to get over what Dez said, you know, this and that, whatever. I mean, it's not like people love to equate it to what Bryce Butler said on Undisputed back in January. First of all, I thought what Bryce Butler said got blown way out of proportion. I didn't think he said anything really flagrant. But to that point, the Cowboys did bring him back. But Dez, I mean, what Dez said, I think, is irreparable, you know, 6 months later. I mean, yeah, I think Dez will go in the Ring of Honor someday, probably, things like that. You know, time will heal those wounds. But, I mean, because, you know, he's the Cowboys' all-time leader in receiving touchdowns, for goodness sake. But, yeah, I mean, if you're Jason Garrett, I don't understand what could dissuade you from the point that you felt, you know. Again, it wasn't like they had this amicable divorce. They released him. I mean, they decided we're better off without you. And so, I mean, you can make an argument in terms of why they would be better with him. But in terms of how they're thinking, I don't know what has possibly changed to the point that they would say, oh, let's just do it. Because as you said at the top of this, if they do that, that would look so bad on the Cowboys. It would make them look like punks. Like, oh, yeah, I mean, this dude just walked all over us and you know, took it to all of us. We're going to bring him back. Let's go. Let's party.
And I think that was all made in – that was a consideration. And they didn't even make him a minimum – you know, the veteran minimum. Mm-hmm. Whatever that – you know, $700 million, $757,000, whatever it may be. They didn't even offer him that. Because I think they felt like, look, we need to separate now, and we're gonna go ahead and break this off, you know, divorce or whatever, the marriage is over, and we're gonna give you the opportunity to move on. And I, you know, look, I think guys say a lot of things. I've said things, and
sure,
in the heat of the moment, we've all said things where we didn't mean it. You know, we step back, like, you know, I'm sorry. We understand that. Mm-hmm. But Dez kept piling on and kept making these comments on, you know, Twitter or social media. Or, you know, third person, whatever it may be. And yeah. I don't think he handled it that way. But you know what? I think the Cowboys have accepted his behavior because they've had to put up with this. Is eight years in the league with the Cowboys, some of these things, you know, acting like an adolescent.
You know,
and I think they, after a while, you get tired of, like, making Johnny go in and give him a timeout and right. go stand in the corner. You got to grow up sooner or later.
David Moore, the longtime Dallas Morning News writer, wrote something, I believe, on Wednesday night that said the title was something, you know, the Cowboys have moved on from Dez. Why can't he do the same? That's kind of what it feels like we're at. It feels like, look, man, you know, we did this. We already said goodbye. You know, we had our hugs. We had our moments. It feels like, I'm not saying that Dez is this person, but it feels like when somebody graduates high school and, you know, they go back and they want to relive it. You know, let's relive the glory days. Everyone gets right. the Letterman jackets out. You know, let's go back to Peterson's and let's have a party. And it's just
talk about the good old days.
Yeah,
and what we used to do back when we were, is, you know, seniors in high school. And hell, I mean, when you get my age, you really want to start rehashing some of those moments. Yeah, I mean, that's a great way to compare it. It's live as an athlete in the National Football League. And I don't know. If Dez was canon about the way he handled it, I guarantee it he would probably tell you that I wish I would have handled it differently. But maybe he wasn't capable of it because I really think that the Cowboys enabled a lot of things, his behavior on the field, mm-hmm. and let him get by with it because all the high maintenance and having to deal with his, you know, his tantrums or whatever that may be, stuffed inside the locker room that we don't know about. Because he was balling, because he was playing like he was in 2014. You know, after a while, you know, that leash that they have on you, it tightens up sooner or later. And, you know, if you cannot continue to perform, then they will not accept that type of behavior. Their patience wears out.
Agreed. You know, I live in San Antonio, and I think, you know, I was explaining this whole situation to my mom, and I was telling her about Kawhi Leonard, and, you know, that was a hard thing to explain. But just telling her about, you know, this is a dude who quit on his team, whatever. I mean, you go all the way deep on that. But and she was like, well, why would the Toronto Raptors want him? And I was like, because he's a baller.
Yeah.
Because he's a –
Did you do the laugh for your mom?
I did not.
That's pretty creepy.
It is creepy. but that's the point. If you can ball at whatever it is, football, basketball, life, if you can ball, people will put up with you. If you can't, you know, their ability to put up with you shrinks and diminishes, and you know, so
you got to have something to offer for,
exactly,
you know, being able to tolerate those, some people.
You got
to
be worth the hassle. It's just been a weird week, you know, in that regard. But so let's pivot back, let's move it back. You know, we're Ross and Rachel going up the stairs with the couch, and let's get to the Texans, who that was the first team people thought Dez would end up on because he followed all the players on Instagram and whatnot. But so the Houston Texans.
That's amazing that people read into, because someone like Dez follows the Houston Texans. Dude. And I just think it's a tremendous that you can move the needle based on who you follow on Instagram or whatever social media. I think that's pretty amusing there.
You know, we, San Antonio hosts the U.S. Army All-American Bowl every year at the Alamo Dome for high school kids that are going to play college football.
Right.
And I had a conversation with a guy that covers recruiting, college recruiting, and talking to him, you know, about kind of how he does his job and what he looks for. And I asked him about that. I said, well, what level does social media play in your world? You know, because, I mean, you're talking now about, you know, 18-year-old kids who are way more into social media than anybody else. And he said, well, our motto is follow the follows. You know, you got to follow the follows, whoever they're following, you know, whatever they're liking, you know, this and that.
Which colleges they follow, which players,
which recruiters, you know, what
they like to eat.
Yeah.
Now, I think that's brilliant for if you're recruiting a kid, mm-hmm, and you follow them, you like whoever that is, whether it's, you know, what school that he's looking at, and you find out what his tendency are, I think it's a good way to find some information about him, mm-hmm, in a good way, in a bad way. But again, to read into everyone would be interested in every football team in the National Football League.
I think, you know, when I think about this stuff, you guys, y'all would have broken the internet, I really feel.
Gosh. I can't even imagine. We had enough problems when I was in my prime. I couldn't even imagine the 90s. The rock star days of the Cowboys, it was remarkable. It doesn't matter if you were the equipment manager or whatever. If you had a ring on your finger, I mean, anyone. You know what? It's a thing about, you know, a guy that's 75 years old and he's hooked up with a 25-year-old, 30-year-old girl. I mean, money can make you look really, really young and really hot. Mm-hmm. So that's the way there's anyone if on that team back in the 90s. Social media, everything that went along. Oh my gosh, it would be Michael Irvin. I mean, I'm not going to names. I myself, the White House, whatever. All back in those days, you're right. There would have been probably a viral breakdown on social media. All the things that would have been chronologized, would have been, you know, mapped out back then. It would have been amazing.
It would have been incredible. I don't think, you know, you can look at any dynasty in NFL history. Nobody would have destroyed the internet like you guys. Y'all. It would be fun. It's fun to think about. Just imagine hopping on Instagram Live on the plane ride home. You know, I mean, what could have happened? You know,
all those celebrations we used to have on the plane. Mm. And, you know, that's the part of the whole deal is that, look, you know, and that's the thing now in the modern day player. When you talk about the Cowboys and the Texans matchup, is that it's live and you can celebrate those type of moments. Mm-hmm. And it either one of these franchises, you know, starts make movement and consistency and winning and getting to postseason play in the state of Texas. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that you can accomplish. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the thing when we get back to Houston about this being the Lone Star rivalry. I mean, it's all about hardware. It's all about the history of each franchise. I mean, you know, with the Texans, when you go back to the Oilers, or couldn't really be the Oilers because the Oilers moved to Tennessee. So it's kind of confusing to put things together.
No, I agree.
There's not really any history with the Texans. They really don't have anything to hang their hat on.
They have Andre Johnson and J.J. Watt. That's all they've got. That's their greatest accomplishments ever as a franchise. But I agree, and you know, you talk about sort of the road games. I know you're planning on writing something about that, kind of what it's like to travel.
It should be up. I just wrote the blog a couple of days ago, so hopefully we'll get it posted. So
that'll be at blogontheboys.com if you're listening. Be on the lookout for that. I know we'll get that up on the site, but it is interesting. Let's start there, you know, and don't give away the whole blog because I know, you know, people are going to go read it. But what's it like to travel to Houston? I mean, because you've been there. You know, you guys are a little different. You mentioned hardware. You know, you guys, whenever you traveled somewhere, you had hardware. We're the guys that did this. Do you think the current Cowboys go to Houston? Because, you know, none of these guys are part of that hardware, you know, but they wear the uniform. They're part of the team. Do you walk in feeling taller because you play for the Cowboys and they haven't done anything?
Well, I will make this assessment because whenever I was traded to Dallas and I was in Atlanta, I mean, Atlanta, we were the doormat of every team or the NFC or whatever in the NFL. We had no cred. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as I came to Dallas, instant, I'm like, wow, there's a star. You got a star. Mm-hmm. So they're, again, getting back to the history of where you're at and what the guys did before you. So you felt like, yeah, you stick your chest out. The attitude and the energy was a lot different. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, man, this is pretty cool. And then obviously being part of the Super Bowl teams in the 90s just, you know, created this, you know, for me, a great resume and all those other players. Now you look at, and I always thought this, RJ, when we went on the road, and Houston, for example, I mean, sometimes it was a home game for us because there was a lot of Dallas Cowboy fans, especially in Houston. Mm-hmm. Now, I think it's changed a little bit because of the Texans, and there's probably more fans in that fan base. But for us, when we got to a hotel and we got off the plane, and there was people out there, and they wanted a piece of us. Mm-hmm. Right? Because we were, you know, back-to-back. I mean, we had the hardware. We had the reputation. So when we go to a place like Houston, it's like it's almost like a home game, because people identify the winners. These guys now, I don't know. Again, it's the brand, the players, the perception has changed so much. The modern day player, as we mentioned earlier, the social media. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that know a lot about them.
Right.
And again, there's so much access. There's so much the electronic media and everything else. So if I was them, I would have some swagger. But then when you start looking at the body of work and where you're at, you really can't feel really good about yourself.
Right.
But again, the perspective is a little different. You have to feed off that. You at least have a reputation about the expectation. Now, whether you do it or not, that's one thing. But we always thought when we got to the hotel, there were always people there. People wanted to see us. I mean, we felt like we were the Beatles sometimes. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, it was like we were like rock stars. Sure. Now, I don't think this team should be entitled to that. You got to earn that.
Right. No, that's fair. I mean, you guys were the Beatles because you had hit songs. You know what I mean? You guys
had a lot of hit songs. We had a lot of hit players. I mean, we had it all. I mean, from top to bottom, people like to listen to the band.
So this, you know, this team isn't exactly built like that in terms of credibility. But the Texans are struggling. They got their first win in a long time against the Indianapolis Colts, and it was kind of a gimme win, you know, with the way Frank Reich handled it there at the end, going for it on fourth down and setting them up easy for that game-winning field goal. So I think the Texans maybe have less confidence in the Cowboys. You look at things, you know, we measure confidence at SB Nation with a tool called Fan Pulse, and Cowboys fans think they're going to win this game by 4 points. Texans fans think they're going to win this game by 2 points. So the Texans, you know, they've come out of hiding a little bit, but they're still kind of, you know, I think everybody, for whatever reason, everybody thought that Deshaun Watson was just going to pick back up off of last season, but surprise, that's a really difficult thing to do in the NFL, and they just haven't been able to put it together in one complete game yet. So I think this is the Cowboys game to lose, but, you know, you're looking at two teams and two head coaches that have both kind of shot themselves in the foot a little bit at times on this young season.
Well, when you look at the stats, you know, Houston like Dallas, but probably, well, not as bad as Dallas. I mean, they've only averaged 24 points per game. Deshaun Watson has 7 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. So there you go. We've talked last week or earlier this week about the Cowboys' inability to create turnovers. Deshaun Watson will make some errant throws. I mean, he's a very, very elusive quarterback. I saw something last week against the Colts. He was 7 of 7 for 116 yards when he was outside of the pocket. So when he's on the run, he is pretty good because we all know what he can do with his legs. In saying that, I think when you look at this team, it's more the ability to take over games and win games is on the defensive side of the ball. J.J. Watt, Javadian Clowney are the tremendous outside edge rushers. Mm-hmm. So that's where it starts there. You know, J.J. Watt had the big strip last week that led eventually to a touchdown for the Texans. So he's definitely up to his old tricks. A healthy J.J. Watt always gives him an opportunity to win. But, you know, Deshaun Watson is a defensive lineman and having to rush someone like that, that's the problem with him. And the Cowboys have done a tremendous job with, you know, containing the pocket. Mm-hmm. But once he gets outside, then he can kill you because he's fast. He brings guys out of coverage. If you're not patient, he will make you pay for that.
Yeah, I think, you know, Deshaun is certainly electrifying. You know, DeMarcus Lawrence is going to have his work cut out for him. You know, obviously Houston's having a lot of success with the Astros, the reigning World Series champions, and gearing up for the playoffs this year. But they kind of feel like a home run hitting team to me. Like that's their game. You know, they've got to hit home runs. That's really how they're going to beat you is if they're able to hit home runs. Whereas the Cowboys, they're kind of a team that's, all right, man, we're gonna get some walks and we're gonna try to get a couple people on base, and then we're depending on our big hitters. We're depending on that designated hitter to come up and really just bring us home. We know we're not gonna hit any home runs, but we're just kind of hoping that we can pile them up through all 9 innings that way. And so I don't know which game plan is more sustainable, especially when you pit them against one another.
I do like the matchup. When you look at their defense, I think that you know Zeke coming off a hot week, I really think there's some yardage to be had rushing the football, and you know, I wish there was other playmakers available, but again, I mean, it's a team that that makes their living off getting to the passer. I mean, they got two of the best pass rushers in the National Football League. You know, J.J. Watt, I mean, to me, when you watch him play, I mean, the guy is just – some of the thing he does athletically and just physically is amazing. Mm-hmm. And saying that, I mean, that's kind of the slippery slope because, you know, you look at Dak and his inability to really just be on point and on target. And I know this is going to be a challenge for this offensive line. Mm-hmm. Lael Collins out on the edge, and as I said, Clowney. I mean, these guys can bring it, and that's the only concern. And when he gets into rest, I mean, this is a game where he's really going to have to be able to protect the football. As I just mentioned, the strip balls. I mean, that's J.J. Watt. These outside edge rushers make a living off just – they don't go for the sack. The arms, you know, the arm is out there. It's exposed with the ball. They go for the strip. And that's this really tells you a lot about their ability to rush on the edge.
There's been a lot of talk, I mean, I don't want to say lately, really for a long time, about how the Cowboys could benefit more off of play action. You know, when I think of the Texans, you know, I think of that Gary Kubiak offense. I mean, that was kind of a staple. You know, Shaw would run the play action to Arian Foster and then go down deep to Andre Johnson. And those were their home runs, you know, 6-7 years ago. The Cowboys, you know, Dak doesn't do tremendously well out of the shotgun from a passing perspective. I mean, obviously, if you're in the gun, the fact that you're passing is more obvious. And when, you know, when you're under center, the threat of Zeke exists, especially on early downs. But it sounds like, you know, if I'm buying what you're selling, and I am, I'm buying everything that you're selling, Tony. I'm buying it in cases. That's the key, I think. I mean, you're going to have to hit some sort of play action, you know, big play, whether it's a deep ball to Tavon Austin, get it to Cole Beasley in space and have him break something open, or maybe go down deep to Michael Gallup like you did last week. You're going to have to use, if you're not using Zeke, you're going to have to use the threat of him because J.J. Watt's going to get home at some point, and you're right, he's probably more likely than not to jar the ball loose, and those are the plays that swing a game from one direction to the other.
I think the game plan in this particular, you know, going up against the Texans, when you look, as you just mentioned, play action, they're 27th in the league on defense, giving up, you know, 288 yards per game. So, you know, I'm kind of cautiously guarded when I say that the Cowboys can, you know, there's some yards to be had on the passing game because it hasn't, because we really haven't shown that over the last, you know, four games. I mean, the play action, the ability to, you know, to create some space and find some playmakers. And I think that, you know, they're so sold on the Texans about trying to get the big play. I mean, the big play, everyone thrives off that. And just like the side, you know, the Texans, the Cowboys side. But, yeah, I think there's some yards to be had there. And I think the Cowboys, if they do find a rhythm, who that may be, whether it's Tavon Austin, whether it's Jeff Swaim, who knows? I mean, we're looking for someone else. There is the capability of them being able to score some points. I mean, because, you know, the Texans have been able to have yielded again, have given up, you know, 27 points per game.
It's definitely possible. And I don't know. I mean, I don't want to, you know, pick on the fact that they're Houston, you know, all the time. But, you know, is this something that you know, you've been there, you go into a game like this, you look at it, oh, they're struggling, you know, their offense hasn't really totally gelled, their defense is kind of sucking a little bit. Is this something that if you're, you know, a player, you go into it and you're thinking, this is it, this is a chance, this is a I don't want to say a layup game, but this is a chance to really, you know, pick up some momentum. We know this team, you know, you can smell blood in the water to a degree. Is that something that maybe the Cowboys have going on, especially feeling optimistic themselves?
Maybe on defense, because I know Lamar Miller, you know, he's a good back. He's only rushed for 288 yards this year. And they're not particularly good at running the football. I mean, their biggest weapon is obviously Deshaun Watson. I mean, he is going to set up the play action, and you got to really be guarded against that. In saying that, I think the defense has an opportunity to tee off on this offense. Mm-hmm. Because of the, you know, they're not a very prolific offense. I mean, they've struggled. So it sets up well for them. Now, on the offensive side of the ball, as I just alluded to earlier, you know, when you look at, you know, J.J. Watt, you look at Jadeveon Clowney, and you look at – I mean, there's a lot of – there's some playmakers. Martell, I mean, there's some playmakers on the defense side of the ball. So you got to look at the matchups. And I think the matchups, the ones that I just mentioned, you got to be able to minimize their pass rush, obviously. And – again, that you got to do a lot of play action with that.
So I, you know, you and I were both at the game against Detroit last week, and I had only watched the condensed version of the game on Game Pass this week, but I watched the broadcast last night, and the great Bob Sturm had pointed something out that I finally saw after the Golden Tate touchdown, the go ahead touchdown on the broadcast. You can see Chris Richard just, I mean, ripping into the secondary. I mean, he is. I don't know if it, you know, I don't know who the target was. Anthony Brown, Byron Jones, and Cheeto are all in the vicinity, you know. But Chris Richard was hot, you know, because they gave a big play. I mean, Anthony Brown played it poorly. I have to imagine he was certainly partly guilty there. But the Cowboys secondary has not been this force that we thought it was going to be this season. I think Byron Jones has played really well. I think he deserves a lot of credit. I think Cheeto had a bad game, kind of a weird game. But overall, the secondary hasn't been, I don't want to say they've been bad, but I think we expected like some muscle flexing. You know, we expected some swagger. Maybe we were just, you know, lulled into Chris Richard, but I think we were all expecting, oh, these dudes are going to hawk all these balls. They're going to be this, you know, Legion of Boom part two, whatever. They're the only defense, and therefore the only, you know, maybe not the only secondary, but the only defense as a whole yet to record an interception. Is that on their mind? I mean, you know, is that something that, is that a trend you see breaking here?
I don't think you have to pressure yourself. Added pressure to really just say there's not, you cannot push this buttons like we're going to get takeaways. It doesn't happen that way. And as I mentioned earlier this week, that will happen eventually. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hope so. Because you got to be in the right place at the right time. And when you get the opportunity to catch it, you got to convert. And you can't be this interception on the defense. Okay. Mm-hmm. But as much, you know, when The takeaways, yes, that's a huge category. You look at that, that's one of the first things. You look at sacks, tackles for loss, third down efficiency, and then takeaways. Well, I really believe that if this, the continuation of the defensive line getting pressure on the quarterback, that's where it starts. You know, we always said this, and the DBs and the DBs defensive back room hated for us to say this, but it's vice versa. A good pass rush creates a good secondary.
Right.
A good secondary helps, you know, the front four, front seven, whatever it is, to get pressure on the quarterback, coverage sacks. So it kind of goes hand in hand. But the first one I mentioned, the pressure, that creates, again, a quarterback throwing off rhythm, throwing it in the window that he thinks he can make a play, and just at the very last minute, either he gets hit, and all of a sudden that creates an opportunity for an interception or a takeaway. If the trend with the pass rush continues, I think that, I don't know how, if they come in bunches, but I think maybe this week, I think we get the Cowboys get off the snide and at least get one interception.
You know, I can see that. And Deshaun is certainly a quarterback that's, whilst he's certainly very talented, he's kind of, I don't want to say known for that, but he's not unknown for that. He's definitely had his moments where he's tried to do something, tried to make a play, tried to be special, tried to overcome something in the moment. Ball gets tipped, you know, his arms hit when he's throwing. I mean, things like that. I get that's what you're saying. That's what pressure helps create, is it just causes havoc, and havoc helps lead to turnovers. But I do think it's possible, certainly, to get off the schneid, as you said, this week. I think for me, to kind of hone in on everything, that's where this game's going to be won or lost. It's Deshaun Watson versus the Cowboys defense. Because I think we believe that Zeke and the Cowboys offense will do, I guess, the bare minimum is the best way to put it. I think they'll do the bare minimum.
That's the only option right now until otherwise.
Yeah, so I do think that they're at least capable enough to do the bare minimum. But this game's going to be won or lost. Who makes the splash play between that matchup, Deshaun versus the Cowboys defense? I think it comes down to who's more disciplined, because somebody's going to make a mistake, and I think we both hope it's not the Cowboys, obviously.
All right, there's two matchups in this game that I'm going to look for, and I think would be very intriguing, is Lael Collins versus J.J. Watt. And J.J. Watt is a dynamic player, when healthy, top, you know, five defensive players in the National Football League, without a doubt. Great edge rusher. And then when you look on the other side with Tyron Smith versus Clowney, that's going to be a brutal matchup. Mm-hmm. And that's really what kind of concerns me, RJ, in this game, is the ability for these guys to be able to get off the edge. But I think for Dak and this offense, Scott Linehan is going to have to slow that down, by the play action. You know, slow those guys down and keep them, you know, have to check the run.
Right.
And if they're able to do that, then I think they'll have success. But those are going to be, that's my biggest concern. Now, when you look at the Cowboys defense, you know, DeAndre Hopkins is a tremendous receiver.
Beast.
He has 30 receptions this year for 443 yards. So, as we talked about earlier about the secondary, that one-on-one matchup there is going to be very interesting. The running game, you know, Lamar Miller really hasn't been a threat as far as rushing the ball. But overall, I mean, Deshaun Watson is the guy that opens up everything wide open on offense. And you got to remember, last year in his rookie season, before he got hurt, this guy was setting – he was having one of those Patrick Mahomes. I forgot, it came to my mind. But he's having one of those type of seasons before he got injured in that freak accident in practice.
Yeah, I mean, Deshaun was incredible. He hasn't been that guy, but you're right. I mean, I think that guy's still in there. You mentioned DeAndre Hopkins, certainly terrifying. Will Fuller, I know he's got the hamstring issue, but, you know, if Will Fuller is playing his full capabilities, I think Will Fuller has the chance to make the Cowboys defense look the way Golden Tate did, because Golden Tate ran all over them. And Will Fuller is a speedy guy. He's a burner. He's the guy who can take the top off. And that's the home run I'm probably most nervous about, is if Deshaun Watson, you know, you can kind of see it. Maybe the Texans are up by three late in the third quarter. They go play action. Bam. Deep bomb, Will Fuller, touchdown, 10-point lead. All of a sudden, you're in a hole and you can't run the ball as well, or you can't run the ball as much because you got to move quickly. That's what I think the worst case scenario is.
And we saw last week, as you just mentioned, with the Lions and Matthew Stafford and that, sequence of plays, it was all these yardage, one play after the other. And they expose a lot of things on, the Cowboys defense. I don't know what the status is right now with Jeff Heath, but it seemed to me once he exited the building, left the game, all of a sudden there were some communication problems. Mm-hmm. And, all of a sudden they were giving up these big, big, big gains. And as you just mentioned, Will Fuller is a viable guy that, again, they can create a lot of routes, a lot of opportunities, and be able to stretch the field. And that also is a concern as far as, their big play making ability.
It's they got a lot to be worried about. I don't think this is a walk in the park by any means. This is a rough little stretch for the Cowboys as they take on the Texans and they take on the Jacksonville Jaguars next week. It came out actually while we were recording this that Tony Romo will broadcast that game, so that will be interesting next week on CBS. And then they've got the Redskins before the bye. It's crazy how fast the season's kind of flying by.
I know. I cannot believe it. It's quarter of the season's over right now. We're into getting towards the halfway point. Yeah, these games are crucial. As we get closer to that halfway point.
Over at bloggingtheboys.com this week, the great OCC, one of our fantastic writers, wrote something about playoff percentages and playoff chances and talked about how it sounds silly, but theoretically you have better playoff odds at 0-0 than you do at 2-2 because the objective is to win 10, 11 games. And if you are 0-0, you have 16 games to work with. So you have more opportunity is the point. Whereas if you're 2-2 and you got to win 10, 11 games, that means you got to win 8 or 9 of your remaining 12. And that's a harder thing to accomplish. The math just becomes smaller is really the point. And to that point, this is big. If you're going to lose a game, you want it to be certainly to the AFC because those games mean the least. But you've already lost two games, and we're just entering October. And so, nobody can ever afford to lose a game in the NFL. I get that. But if the Cowboys lose, especially with a big-time defense and the Jacksonville Jaguars coming to town next week, that's going to set them up really badly. And they really, I think, again, it goes without saying, but it's a must-win. They've got to have this.
Well, at 500, you look at the math and you look through the remaining part of the season and which games you can win, and you go on the road. It's a tough schedule, and they have Jacksonville next week, but it's a game that you have to just take on one at a time. And the one thing that's great about this is you don't have to travel that far. It's a 45-30 minute flight. You're there. You're back, back home that day. So it's as far as traveling, road trip, it's pretty easy on you. But in saying that, this is a game that the Texans, they need also. They're kind of at the turning point in their season. They're 1-3, so they can't afford to, in the conference they play in. There's a lot of some teams that it's not the strongest division they're in. But, for them to move on, this is a game they got to have also. And the matchups, they're there. But the Cowboys, again, an opportunity for them to get some things going on offense and continue to find someone besides Dak and Zeke on this offense. Because right now they lack playmakers on that side of the ball.
Agreed. So it's that time, Tony. It's Tony time. Time for some predictions. You and I are both 1-2. We started the 7-5-0 after the first game of the year. That's why we're not even. But we're 1-2. I correctly thought the Cowboys would beat the Giants. You called a loss that week. We both thought they'd win in Seattle and both took a hard L. And then last week, I thought they'd lose to the Lions. But you believed, and I'm glad you were right. So we're both 1-2. I'll let you go first. Cowboys, Texans, the greatest rivalry the great state of Texas has ever seen.
The Lone Star Shootout.
Who's who's walking away with the hard fought win from NRG Stadium on Sunday night.
So what is the award they get for this game? Do they have something they what do they call that?
Well, I know they do it during the because they play in the preseason every year. They play for the
That's what it is.
They play for the Governor's Cup in the preseason.
Oh, that's right. So they're not playing for the Governor's Cup this during the regular season, which is makes no sense. If they do it in the preseason, wouldn't they do it during the regular season? I mean, it's more credible because it actually means something.
With that
said, my prediction for this game, RJ, wow, it's kind of hard to feel warm and cozy about, you know, the Cowboys because you don't know, you know, such this graph that just goes up and down. I'm going to go with the uptick on this. I'm going to play the stock market is bullish, and okay. I'm going to bet on the Cowboys to win 24-21. I don't know if they're, you know, they scored 26 last week, but I see it being a game. The Cowboys will get off the snide as far as takeaways. They will at least have an interception and a fumble recovery in this game. I'm just saying that because they need them. But yeah, that's my prediction, RJ.
I like that. My only not qualm, but I think we're just going to get more field goals than that. You know, I think that both these offenses are going to stall. I think we're going to see a lot of field goals. And that makes for a weird score. You know, that's why I'm glad you threw in one. You know, respect Brett Maher, the game winner last week. I'll venture deep into these waters with you too, Tony. I'll take the Cowboys. All right, I'll do it. Let's do it. Last time we both took the Cowboys, they lost. So let's hope. You know,
you and I can get to 500, or I can get to 500.
Well, we both can, because
both of us 500.
Yeah, we have yet to both predict a win and have them win. The only times they've won is when one of us has predicted a loss. So let's hope that we're not a curse by any means. But so I'm going to predict a win. I'm going to go with 20-16 as the final score. I think we're going to get two Cowboys field goals, two touchdowns. Maybe one of them's at Zeke one on the ground. Maybe Dak goes play action to Rico Gathers or Jeff Swaim again. And I think the Texans are just going to – they're going to knock at that door. They're going to knock at that door, and DeMarcus Lawrence is going to keep them out, and they're going to hit three field goals and only one touchdown on the night. And if the Cowboys are 3-2 with two wins in a row, I think you're feeling pretty good. I think you're feeling pretty awesome. And I think I think there's a lot of reason to celebrate as we enter the middle of October.
And I like this game also because it's on national TV. It's on Sunday night. It's the big rivalry game. So there's a lot of things that go along with this. And I really anticipate. Again, I just kind of shake my head, and I'm trying to, like, you know, like everyone else, put your finger on one particular thing that you can kind of hang your hat on, like the Cowboys are going to do this on the offensive side of the ball. But I just really think that there's got to be a breakout game for this offense. Mm-hmm. Maybe there won't be because they don't have any receivers on this team. So we'll just have to play it out and see what this thing does.
So we both got Cowboys earlier in the week. I kind of joked about it, but I'll let you pick. I'll go first again. I'll say in the other important game in your life this week, I'll take the Sooners by 20. I'll take the Sooners by 20. I've cut my prediction in half.
I think the line, the last time I checked, I like that, year and a half. You said 43 the last time we did our podcast. I think the line's 6.5, or I haven't even looked at it.
I'm calling 20 because I think there's some garbage touchdowns that piled it on.
You know what? In this game right here, if Kyler Murray, and that's the brilliance of this game, RJ, and this shootout, is that doesn't matter. A team could be ranked number one, another team would be unranked, mm-hmm. and they lose the game. So that's why it's such greatness of this game. I think the Sooners will cover. I don't know what that is, but I'm going to pick them to win big. I'm going to pick them to win by 14.
Nice.
I'm going to go. I think it's going to be a wild game. And Kyler Murray and some of the weapons, the explosiveness they have on offense. I'm going Sooners winning 35-14.
Nice. So that would make my prediction stand too. All right.
Yep.
I like it. So okay, so we both got Sooners, we both got Cowboys. I'll let you know what movie we pick on Saturday night. What's your game day meal?
My game day meal is anything and everything.
Nice.
I got to go with the wings.
Respect.
Nachos. Oh, by the way, today's National. We're doing our podcast here on Thursday.
National Taco Day.
National Taco Day.
Yeah.
You got to have the tacos. But definitely I'm a wing man.
What's the best dipping sauce for wings? What do you dip them in? It's important for
I got to go with ranch.
Good call. Great call. Ranch, I'm not a blue cheese guy.
All day long. Yeah. And you know what? You can put ranch on anything. It tastes good.
Dude. See, I think about this every year when it comes to the state fair. You know how they have like fried peanut butter jelly and all
that? Oh, yeah.
But like if they made fried ranch, like just like a ball that was like fried ranch dressing, would you eat that?
Yeah, anything. I just started doing this about 5 years ago.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if it's in my age or anything, but everything, it's like I have ranch on this weird stuff.
Dude, you know? I agree. Would you dip the fried ball of ranch in ranch?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Because I would need the cool ranch as well as the warm ranch.
Most definitely.
Yeah. So
yeah, the ranch has taken over my world. So we need to have National Ranch, hashtag National Ranch Day.
Let's do it. Well, that'll be our thing. We'll celebrate with ranch. Okay, we got the Sooners, we got the Cowboys, we got the ranch. Tony, have a great weekend. Hopefully on Monday afternoon, we're talking about a big-time Cowboys win.
Hopefully it's a great weekend for all.
Well, that was it. That was the 750. Thanks for listening. We will see you next week right here on the 750.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seems Smart. It Seems Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.